Akil Badu on the first pitch as a pinch hitter deep into the night and gone. Tigers have the lead. Meadows puts a jolt into one. Right field and out of here. Back to back jabs.
And the Royals, as they've done most of Zach Greinke's career when he's been a member of the Royals, waste another Zach Greinke fine performance. Zach with just one win this year, and last night could have had another one. He goes five innings, gave up just one lousy hit, struck out five, and gets a no decision because the Tigers tied the game in the 6-2 on earned runs. In the eighth inning, a score 4-3, getting up by Taylor Clark, and the Royals lose. Here's the good news. Zach Greinke is supposed to start the finale, the final game of the year, at home against the Yankees coming up on Sunday. And I saw some people on Twitter say maybe they could get him in at bat, which would be awesome and pretty cool. And then watch him get plunked, and that'd be a horrible way to end. But anywho, Matt Cuchero on Zach Greinke's performance last night despite the Royals' loss. The Royals had their six-game winning streak snapped in the process. They're now 54-103, and game two of the series is a 5:40 tonight in Detroit. Jeff Bolin will make his major league debut for the Royals. The Royals need to win three of the last five games to avoid tying their worst record in franchise history. If they would win two, they would avoid setting the mark all by themselves because they could still tie the worst record, which is 56-106. Right now they're 54-103, but here's Cuchero on Greinke.
That was the best we've seen. His stuff looked really sharp. I don't know if he was hitting every spot as much as he would have liked, but, you know, getting swing and miss, the strikeouts were there, soft contact was there, and it was fun to watch. From the side, it looks like he's getting a lot of depth, especially on his changeup, you know, and his sweeper's been pretty big, too, so he's gotten some swing and miss on that.
So the Royals will go back at it here in Detroit tonight at 5:40. All right, coming up, Major League Baseball playoff update. A couple of interesting developments last night in Major League Baseball. Also, a baseball legend passing away at the age of 86. We'll update you on our fantasy football league. K-State in focus. We'll hear from Chris Kleiman as K-State has this week off. And the Swift effect. There's two different Swift effects that are happening in NFL, and you're probably only aware of one of them. Local sports, Dusty.
Yes, high school volleyball from last night. The Beloit Lady Trojans picking up two wins over the Southeast Saline Lady Trojans, 25-10, 25-20. And the second match was 25-16, 25-14. Beloit now 23-2, 6-0 in the NCAA. They've won 21 consecutive matches now with those two wins last night there in rural gypsum. Also in the Northern Plains League at Tescott, Osborne beating Tescott 25-8-11, and they beat Southern Cloud 25-14-19. Northern Valley Triangular, Northern Valley over Lakeside 25-16 and 25-16, and then Stockton beat Lakeside 25-17 and 21. Pike Valley Triangular, Sylvan Lucas over Pike Valley, 25-18 and 16. Sylvan Lucas beat Rock Hills, 25-15 and 17. And then Rock Hills over Pike Valley, both set scores were 25-17. Thunder Ridge Triangular, Thunder Ridge beating Lincoln, 25-15 and 20. And then Thunder Ridge beat Natoma, 25-16 and 15. Lincoln beat Natoma in the other match, 25-12 and 11. Those are the Northern Plains League scores from the immediate area there. And then Smith Center goes 3-0 at the Russell Quad in the Mid-Continent League to move to 10-0 in the league. They beat TMP in two, 25-13 and 13. They beat Russell in two, both scores 25-15, and beat Phillipsburg in two, 25-12 and 21. Overall, Smith Center's now 19-2 on the season. For all the latest scores and news, you can always visit ncksports.com. We remind everybody we do have high school football locker room chats coming up here tonight as we talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge around 5:15. On Kitty Country 94 and kittycountry94.com. And we'll have locker room chats tomorrow night as well with the coaches of St. John's, Tipton, Lakeside, and Rock Hills, and then high school football on Friday. Don't miss all of our coverage, and our games of the week on Friday will be on Kitty Country 94. We have St. John's, Tipton at Osborne, and on Z96.3 in the Beloit Trojan Channel, Beloit at Phillipsburg. So that'll be coming up. We'll preview those games later this week here on the Sports Ticket and the Football Express from Cunningham Telephone and Cable on Friday.
All right, before we get into Major League Baseball and get into our fantasy football update that I really am not looking forward to, and K-State in focus and the Swift effect, Dusty posted this on Twitter, and Dusty says he never had an AOL address, but how many points are you? You might be old if one point for everything you've done. So I mentioned this a while I said wake up, but I thought it'd be cool to do it on the Sports Ticket when we have a little bit of time. So are you old? Do you feel old? Well, we're here to not help you. So play along at home, everyone. This is a quick game. You get 1 point for everything you've done. You really don't want points in this situation. It's kind of like golf. The lower the score, the less old you are. All right. Dusty scored a 23. There's 24, 25 things here. I also scored a 23. So here we go. Dusty and I will play
along. I counted 24. If there was 25, I scored
okay.
a 24.
Okay. Well, then there's one you didn't. Well, then maybe I scored a 22 then. You get a point for everything you've done. Ready, ladies and gentlemen? Here we go. Did you use a rotary phone? I did.
Yes.
Used a floppy disk?
All the time.
Yes. Used a typewriter?
Yes.
Yes. Taking pictures with a film camera? Yes.
Always.
Listen to music on a CD? Well, how was there any other way to hear music?
Yeah.
Yes. Made a mixtape? Yeah, that was the cool thing to do. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Owned a Walkman? Dude, those were so cool. You strangled yourself on the cord, but they were cool.
Had to have it during harvest, man.
Had to have it. Listen to music on a boombox. Heck yeah. Jamming, blowing out the speakers. Watched a movie on VHS? Did I? Rented a movie from Blockbuster? Who didn't? Learn cursive. See,
that's sad that's on the list.
It is, because when you have to do your signature, you're supposed to do cursive. Now online it can be done for you, but like if you write a check, which checks are going to be obsolete as well at some point, but you have to sign all kinds of documentation. And so my son and I had to sign a particular document that I'm co-signing for, okay? And my son, who's a senior, went to do cursive, and he could do his first name, but he was supposed to do his middle initial with the last name, and his middle name starts with D. And he's like, oh, dear God, I don't even know if I can do a D in cursive. That's how much he does cursive. So learn cursive. Yes, both of us.
Yeah.
Played an Atari. Oh, yeah. River Raid, man.
My hand got real tired sometimes on that joystick.
Absolutely. Sent or received a fax. Shoot, we did that just a few years ago.
Yeah.
Had a MySpace account. I did not have that. Did you have that?
Oh, I definitely had a MySpace.
You had a MySpace
account. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, you were hip. ordered from Columbia House and still own them. Laugh out loud. Yes, that was where you got 10 CDs for a penny, and you thought it's a heck of a deal, but then you went to order the 11th, and they charged you $18.99 because the CD was $12.99, and then shipping and handling was like $7.
Yeah.
They got their money back. Had an AOL address. See, I don't think I had that either, so I've got two I haven't done. You said you did, or you didn't? You
I
never
did not.
Oh, no. That's the one you didn't
have. Yeah, it's the one I didn't have.
Access to internet via dial-up. Oh, those are the great sounds. Yeah, that's horrible.
Shut off the phone. You can't use the phone.
Nope, that's exactly. Ma, get off the phone. I'm on the internet. Use an encyclopedia. People don't use those anymore? Why would you? You got Google.
They use it online, apparently.
Yeah. Did you know the founder of Google Earth is a KU graduate?
I did not.
Mm-hmm. Just learned that at the KU campus tour. And that person comes back and teaches some classes from time to time.
Interesting.
That is, yeah, and they're big into the AI stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know this guy. Use the phone book. Don't we still do that a little bit?
Yeah, I probably have done that within the last year.
Okay. Sent a postcard.
It's been a while, but I did it.
I'm trying to remember if I have or not. I'll say I probably did. Used a paper map. Absolutely.
Yes.
Owned a dictionary. Yes.
Yes.
It's free. Written a check. Yes.
I still do it today.
Yeah,
I don't understand why that's...
Yeah, I don't see how that makes you old.
I guess the kids are probably not using them anymore.
ACHs and everything.
Yeah.
Uncurled a telephone cord. You don't need a telephone cord for a cell phone. That's probably what the young people are
exactly.
thinking. Yeah, so you and I are old. How did you score out there, ladies and gentlemen? Did you score 23 out of 24, 22 out of 24? You score all 24 and get a perfect score? That's not good. I guess. I don't know. Anyway.
I've seen these things before. But this was the first one that actually did make me feel old.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, all that stuff is, like, some of that stuff I'm still doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, what?
Yes. I agree with you. All right. Major League Baseball. The Red Sox and the Yankees, for the first time in 30 years, neither one of those two teams will be in the Major League Baseball playoffs. And I say... Hallelujah. We don't need New York or Boston to have the good playoffs. We don't. Major League Baseball playoff update for you. The Milwaukee Brewers clinched the National League Central last night, albeit not because they were able to beat the Cardinals. Rather, the Brewers clinched the division crown, and I was actually watching this game last night because there was nothing sports-wise on last night, in my opinion. The Cubs were up 6-0 on the Braves. The Braves came back, made it 6-5. There was a regular routine fly ball to right center field, and the Cubs outfielder didn't lose in lights. He just flat out misjudged it and missed the ball. The pitcher thought he was out of the jam. Two runs score. That was in the bottom of the eighth. Cubs get shut down. The very next top of the ninth, they're done. They lose 7-6. That clinches the Central for the Brewers. But the Cubs, if they don't make the playoffs, they're going to have to sit here and talk about the curse of Bartman again. I don't know, man. It was like, very strange. It's almost like it only could happen to the Cubs last night. It was very weird. It was a regular play. I don't think you can any way say the lights or anything got in his eyes. He didn't look like he was battling. It looked like he was going to make a routine play. The right fielder, Suzuki, flat out, like, I don't even know if touched a glove. I don't think I've ever seen that in a Major League Baseball game when it's not like sun or light induced. And usually even then, it still hits their glove. It was an amazing miss. It reminded me of like... It reminded me of our 9-10-year-old kids playing youth baseball. That's the type of play I see at that age. They track it, and then they miss it completely. Or it hits them in the face. That's really bad.
Yeah.
Might cost the Cubs a playoffs, man, play.
I think the Cubs won the World Series, and it confused the baseball guys, and they're like, what are we doing here?
I think they're reverting back to everything. Yeah. So, anyway, the Cubs lose 7-6. The defending National League champions are returning to the postseason. The Phillies clinched a postseason berth last night with a walk-off win and extra innings over the Pirates. So the Phillies are headed back to October, the top wildcard team in the National League. They're locked into the 4 seed with the Cubs' loss on Tuesday against the Braves, and they will host the second wildcard team, the NL's 5 seed, in a wildcard series beginning next week because it's the best 2 out of 3. So when we look at Major League Baseball in regards to the standings, Baltimore has a 2.5-game lead over Tampa Bay in the American League East. Both those teams have clinched playoff spots. Minnesota's clinched the Central. They're the only team with a winning record. And if the Twins were in the American League East, they would have finished 4th. If they're in the American League West, they'd be in 4th right now. In the American League West, the Mariners with a big win last night over the Astros. So the Rangers have a 2.5-game lead over the Astros, a 3-game lead over Seattle, and Seattle's a half game behind Houston for a playoff spot in the wild card. In the National League, we mentioned the Phillies and Braves have clinched. The Braves with their 101st win of the season last night, and I'm just waiting for them to flame out in the playoffs, because whenever they win 100 games, we've gone through all this, when they win 100 games and look unbelievable, every single time they have lost and never won the World Series, and many times don't even make it to the World Series. When they won it a few years ago, they had 88 wins. The Milwaukee's clinched the Central, as I mentioned. The Cubs and the Reds and the Marlins are fighting for a last playoff spot along with the D-backs. They won last night and crushed the White Sox. The Dodgers are wrapped up the NL West. And we look at the wild card standings. Here's what we know. Tampa Bay's clinched the number one spot. Toronto and Houston right now are clinging to the next two spots. The Blue Jays are in better shape. They have a 1.5-game lead over Houston, a 2-game lead over Seattle. Seattle's only a half game behind Houston for the final wild card spot. Rangers look to be fairly solid to win the division, although they could choke it. And the Astros and the Mariners are playing each other right now in the middle of a series. And then the Mariners and Rangers close out the season. So it worked out perfectly from the scheduling gods to put the three best teams in the AL West happen to play each other kind of in a round robin here late in the year. That's what you want to see. You don't want them playing the A's the final week of the season.
No. This is excitement here at the end of the season between these three teams. And, they're all battling for not just the wild card, but for the division, too. So, yeah, that's fun for sure.
It is. In the National League, we mentioned the Braves, the Brewers, the Dodgerville clinched. The Phillies got the top wild card. Arizona has a 1-game lead over the Cubs for the second wild card spot. Cubs are clinging to the third and final wild card spot by 0.5 game over the Marlins and 1.5 games over the Reds. So the Reds still have a chance. Technically, the Padres and Giants are not eliminated, but they're 2 games under 500 with only 4 to play. So, yes, they're pretty much out of it. So that's an update on where things stand there. The Baltimore Orioles are the best team in the American League. They are 98-59, having a tremendous season. But yesterday they lost a legend as Brooks Robinson passed away. The Hall of Fame third baseman was 86. The Orioles said in a joint statement with the Robinson family, "We are deeply saddened to share the news of the passing of Brooks Robinson, an integral part of our Orioles family since 1955, who will continue to leave a lasting impact on our club, our community, and the sport of baseball." Robinson spent the entirety of his 23-year career with the Orioles, helped the franchise win 2 World Series titles. He batted 267 with 268 home runs, 1,557 RBIs, but it was his glove, man. He won 16 Gold Glove Awards. He made 18 All-Star Games. He was voted to the Hall of Fame in 1983, receiving 92% of the vote. He also won the Most Valuable Player Award in 1964. He won the World Series MVP in 1970. He won the All-Star Game MVP in 1966. Brooks Robinson passed away at 86. George Brett posted a picture with him and Brooks Robinson. Of course, they played the same position for most of their career. At least Brett did. He played third and then played first towards the end of his career. I saw Johnny Bench have a picture. There's a lot of people that were impacted in a positive way by Brooks Robinson, who was considered to be a man that was just he was a classic. And he was highly respected, and he passed away at the age of 86. I never got to see Brooks Robinson play. For once, I can say I'm young enough to. But I have heard stories from various people older than me that said that he was just, and I've seen some highlights, he was the best defensive third baseman of all time, and it's not even close. And maybe the best defensive infielder of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Can't argue with that. Yeah, 16 Gold Gloves.
Yeah, I will take whoever's word for it, because I'm even further away from ever seeing him play. You do hear the stories, and obviously that was a name that was prominent even though he wasn't playing. You know, mm-hmm. when you heard about baseball greats, if you read a book or something like that when you're in junior high or whatever, and that name would be in there. And it was always interesting to me because I was like, dude has two last names.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bro, that's what I always remembered. What first thought that came to my mind was Brooks Robinson. And mm-hmm. two last names. What are we doing here?
Right.
But hearing, you know, some of the stories and understanding and reading a little bit about him, he was obviously a very, very talented player.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And was a winner, too.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. All right, fantasy football update. Dusty gets his first win of the year as he crushes me, 160-88. Safe to say, Dusty's favorite new player is Mostert.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. my youngest finally got a W. He beat Kale. How sad is that, Kale? You lost to a 9-year-old. Sorry, Kale. It's too easy. Don't worry. I'll probably lose to him here soon. Kale loses to my youngest, 97-89. I forgot who has radio-friendly team name, but he changes his name every week. They beat Kate's team that was picked by Dean, so it's Dean's fault they lost, 130-94. Dusty's worst nightmare was not a nightmare to Jesse's astounding team, as astounding team wins 132-120. And Cody's matchless team beat Alex's amazing team 109-105. And then my oldest beat Maddox's team 117-93. So when it comes to the standings in our league right now, and I know everybody's pretty excited about this, there's only a couple of NFL teams that are undefeated, the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Niners. There's only three. In our league, there's only one undefeated team. And he used to be my friend, but no more. Cody is 3-0. Cody, congratulations. But it won't last. And then you've got 5 teams at 2-1, including my oldest. I'm a logjam at 1-2, along with my youngest and now Dusty, and Dusty's worst nightmare. There's only one team that's winless, and that's Maddox's team. And I think it's safe to say,
man,
Maddox's team, all you need to do if you're listening is trade your best players to me and go ahead. I'm the one that put this thing together, so let's just go ahead and hand me a few of your best players. Go ahead and tank, and maybe you can get the first pick in the draft next year. Tell you what, I am the commissioner. How about this? I guarantee you get the first pick next year in the draft if you trade me your best players for nothing. That seems like circumventing the rules just slightly. Not that that's ever happened before in fantasy football leagues.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to get Dusty riled up.
I definitely did not play fantasy football because the rules were circumvented last year.
Gotcha.
Well, the person listening to this is not going to think the rules were circumvented, but...
Yeah. I trust you.
He was a snake. Let's just put it that way.
A snake! Dusty's worst nightmares. Hey, I just happened to be the first name up here. They play Noah's remarkable team. Cody's matchless team takes on Jesse's astounding team this week. Maddox's marvelous team that's 0-3 takes on Liam's team. Kale's wondrous team takes Kate's auto pick superstars, which I like that name. The auto pick superstars. And is there? Oh yeah, and Dusty takes on Alex's amazing team. And my team is Waiter Check Please, playing off my name, and Rex Sudler always did that with Wade Davis when he'd win for the Royals. I go up against the radio-friendly team name, which means I'm a radio guy, So this person, if they're truly going to go by their moniker, radio friendly, means that they will let me win.
Let you win, yeah, exactly.
I think it's pretty obvious what that should happen there. It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. All right, K-State football team is 3-1, 1-0 in conference play with the win over Central Florida, 44-31. DJ Giddens, a huge night, 4 touchdown runs, 207 yards rushing. Will Howard, a couple touchdown runs. K-State getting the job done. They get this week off, and they prepare for a Friday night game next Friday night at Stillwater against Oklahoma State, who is really struggling at the current moment in time. But sometimes that's the team you got to be most leery of. Chris Klieman, in his weekly press conference yesterday, looked back at the win over Central Florida, what stood out to him, and then an update on a couple of players that have been banged up.
Looking back at the film on Saturday, a couple things really showed up. One, we played really physical, really hard. We competed really well. I thought did some really good things up front on the offensive line. Did you know when a kid rushes for over 200 yards, you're doing some really good things. And we stayed committed to the run. That was something that was really going to be important to us, was staying committed to the run so that we could keep the ball as long as we kept it. And then on defense, a couple of turnovers were huge. I thought the play that Des Purnell made when they were driving to score again was a huge play in plus territory to get that ball back. Play by Jacob Parrish getting an interception was really good. Our front seven is playing really well. We're still we're playing hard in the secondary. We're making some plays. We're not making probably as many as we would like to make, and still our focus needs to be on eliminating the explosive play, and that's what some of the things that we're going to do this week with our practices. We'll have some good on good K-State versus K-State. We'll have some young guys K-State versus K-State, and we'll also push the envelope and start working on some Oklahoma State.
Rashawn Ward, RJ Garcia, do you think you'll have those two back?
Yeah, I do. Neither one practiced yesterday, but our hope is that both of them are back at least sometime limited, either today, tomorrow, or Thursday, the 3 days we're practicing.
All right, so the bye week comes at a good time, at least for Sean Ward and RJ Garcia. K-State may get those guys back next Friday against Oklahoma State. The K-State, the Big 12 conference schedule for men's basketball and women's basketball was released yesterday. It seems like it came out later than normal. But the K-State men have 5 Saturday home games highlighting their schedule. And looking at their schedule, they open the season with exhibition game, I believe it's exhibition game. Yes, it is, against Emporia State on November the 1st. That's only like a month away. Mm-hmm. Their first game will be against probably not Bronny James. I don't know if he'll play after his condition, but USC and K-State play each other in the Hall of Fame series in Las Vegas on November the 6th. And then they'll be at the Bahamas Championship. What a rough gig that is. They will be there along with Georgia, Miami, and Providence. They'll play Providence and Miami in that tournament. And then in regards to the Big 12 schedule, and of course, K-State does play Villanova on December 5th as part of the Big 12 Big East battle, and that's at home at Bramlage. They'll play Nebraska on December the 17th, Wichita State at T-Mobile Center on December 21st. And in regards to the Big 12 schedule, they start that on January the 6th, and it is a little different, of course. So let's give you some of the differences. K-State will host Central Florida, just like they did for football. Mm-hmm. They will open up Big 12 play in men's basketball hosting Central Florida on January the 6th on a Saturday. That time has not been determined. They will be at West Virginia, at Texas Tech, host Baylor, host Oklahoma State, at Iowa State. They'll be at Houston January 27th. That'll be something different. That's an 11 a.m. start. Host Oklahoma, at Oklahoma State. They'll host KU on Big Monday on February the 5th. So that's good news, not on a high school night. I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. At BYU, February 10th. Host TCU, February 17th. February 19th at Texas. Then they'll host BYU on February 24th. They'll be at home against West Virginia on a Monday, February the 26th at Cincinnati. And then, of course, there's one high school night. Tuesday, March 5th at Kansas. Although that might be State Week. That might actually work.
Yeah.
State doesn't start till Wednesday. I'll have to double check those dates. And then they end with Iowa State at home, and then the Big 12 Championship starts on March the 12th. So that's a look at K-State's men's basketball schedule. I mean, there's some attractive games, no doubt. I mean, to me, you know, Villanova's a big one. Going to the Bahamas is pretty cool. They play at LSU, which they weren't very good last year. They host Nebraska. They play Wichita State and Kansas City. That's before we get even to the Big 12 schedule. But the different road trips will be at Houston and at BYU. That's and at Cincinnati. So those are the three different road trips. And then Central Florida and BYU will be coming to Manhattan to play basketball as the first year in the Big 12. So what jumps out to you there? KU and K-State play twice in the span of, well, I guess it's a span of 30 days. The K-State hosts the first matchup, second one's in Lawrence, which, who knows, that could determine a Big 12 title.
Yeah, it could very easily. I don't know if there's anything that really stands out to me. It's what I kind of, it's part of what you expect. I didn't know if they had announced who, like, the teams that are going to play twice in the conference mm-hmm. yet or not, but it's interesting to have BYU on there twice mm-hmm. and be able to go to Provo and have them come here to Manhattan too. And so, it's just going to be interesting to see how all the other teams fit. I'm not as intrigued by opening the basketball conference season against UCF as I was the football season. I will right. say that. Like, right. I'm not all of that looking forward to UCF basketball, mm-hmm. but the others that are coming in, Cincinnati and Houston mm-hmm. and BYU, I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing what they do mm-hmm. in this con. Then watch UCF will probably be the best one out of all of them and just shock people or could something be. Like that. But obviously Houston has a pedigree a little bit with basketball here lately, and BYU has had it at times in the past, and clearly Cincinnati has too. So if you're thinking basketball, those are more the schools that I'm looking at and looking forward to seeing here for the first time this year in conference play.
Our focus on K-State Athletics today is brought to you each Wednesday by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. KU men's basketball schedule for the Big 12 play released yesterday as well. As I said, it was for all Big 12 members. Let's just kind of summarize KU's schedule. Max, I'm sure, is excited. Late Night in the Fog is next Friday. KU's been going through their boot camp early in the morning last week. We went on that campus visit. We heard all about how they were out there doing stuff at 6 in the morning. October 29th, the exhibition game to raise money for all those affected in Maui. That's at Illinois. Exhibition game October 29th. Exhibition game against Fort Hays State November 1st. Open the season against North Carolina Central on November the 6th. And then they'll host not K-State, but Manhattan on Friday, November the 10th. They got Kentucky at the United Center, Champions Classic. They'll be in Honolulu for the Maui Invitational. And Gonzaga's there, Purdue, Syracuse, Tennessee, UCLA, Marquette, Chaminade. That's a pretty good field. Eastern Illinois, Connecticut at home on December 1st, defending national champs. So the matchup of the last two national champions at Allen Fieldhouse, 8 o'clock. That's on a Friday night. So, yeah, I'll be doing high school basketball at UofL, too. That's odd to be on a Friday night.
It is very odd.
And then they'll be hosting Missouri December 9th. That'll be a tough ticket to get. That'll be a 4:15 start at Indiana. They'll host, not host, they'll play Wichita State December 30th at T-Mobile Center there in Kansas City. And then January 6th, they open up Big 12 play at home against TCU, at Central Florida, home to Oklahoma, at Oklahoma State, at West Virginia. Cincinnati comes to Allen Fieldhouse on January 22nd on a big Monday. At Iowa State, host Oklahoma State. Houston comes to town on February 3rd on a Saturday. At K-State on big Monday, February 5th. Host Baylor, at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma, host Texas. Host BYU on a Tuesday night. Super. At Baylor, K-State on a Tuesday night, March 5th at home, and at Houston. So what stands out to me is KU, their road trips to the new teams will be Central Florida and Houston. Their home games against the new teams will be against Cincinnati. So they have a home and home with Houston, Cincinnati, and BYU. So K-State has a home and home with BYU. KU has a home and home with Houston. So it is on balance schedule. And I don't think anybody's going to disagree with this. Houston's the better program than BYU when it comes to basketball. No. So that's a tougher schedule than K-State, just in regards to comparing the two. Overall, I have no idea. Haven't broken this down. Have no clue. But it will be different. You won't. But your in-state rivals, they have your home and home. KU and K-State are playing twice. I'm sure Oklahoma State are playing twice. So forth and so on is the final year that Oklahoma and Texas are in this league. So, you know, I'm looking at this. And, of course, what stands out to me is Tuesday games. Because that's high school nights for us. KU plays 1, 2, 4 games on a Tuesday night. And one on a Friday of all times.
Yeah.
So that's 5 high school nights KU's playing.
That March 5th actually is the night before state starts. So
so you'd be all right on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that one would be fine. But the rest of them would be Tuesday high school games. And yeah. Obviously a Friday high school game. I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously not a fan of it.
The last thing they're concerned about is high school.
Oh, yeah. In basketball. And, you know, we tell you football understands that college football understands Friday night should be for high school. I mean, they know
they understand,
that,
but they
know
don't care.
That they're making money on it and they don't
right.
care.
Right.
For basketball, I know that if you want to be on TV, there's only certain slots that are available and you're playing all through the week. And I get it. I understand why they're doing it. I don't like it, but I understand it a little bit more than football because there's only one game a week in football.
No, I
and
get
you're
you.
Trying to, you know, push all these in and get them on TV during basketball.
Close the show with the Swift effect. Clearly, everyone's well aware of how important DeAndre Swift has been to Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, the guy's been on fire. He had like 180-some yards rushing 2 weeks ago, 130 the other night in the win over the Buccaneers. And did you know that there are two Kelce Swift combinations now in the National Football League? DeAndre Swift, who's a running back for the Eagles. The center is Jason Kelce. Oh, yeah. And there's that other Swift thing that happened over the weekend. I forgot all about it. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. The Swift effect. I gave you the Eagles Swift effect. Here's the Chiefs and Travis Kelce Taylor Swift effect. You ready for this? Since Taylor Swift showed up to the Sunday Chiefs-Bears game, there's a 400% spike in Travis Kelce jersey sales. I'm sure all the Swifties are buying them up. Kelce's podcast, number one overall on Apple. It was already a pretty good one. Kelce added 383,000 Instagram followers, 24.3 viewers watched. It was the number one game of the week. And I also read that during the game, when Swifties found out that Swift was at the Chiefs-Bears game, the ratings went up as soon as that was declared and they showed Taylor Swift in the suite. Even though a lot of these Swifties have no idea how football works.
Yeah.
63% jump in female viewers ages 18 to 49. 3-time increase in Chiefs searches on the web. 3-time increase in Chiefs sales on StubHub. Chiefs sold more tickets in a single day since the start of the season. Travis Kelce's definitely underpaid. I mean, he's already was bringing a lot to the table. Now he brings that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. These numbers are pretty amazing. Shows you the popularity of Taylor Swift, clearly. She's a pretty big deal. And seems like a nice person, which is great. And there is an old video that came up about, you know, where does she like to hang out? And she mentioned Lawrence because her best friend went to Lawrence at that time. And she'd gone to Lawrence multiple times to hang out with a friend that had been attending KU. And she really talked about how she liked the small town and the cool atmosphere and everything else. And this was, I don't know how many years ago. And there was rumors that she was at the Free State Brewery in Lawrence and people flocked there because apparently she's not human. She's a god.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought about this when this was all going on Sunday, and then I read all about this, and it actually reestablished it a little bit more, and call me skeptical, but what if this was just a big old ruse? What if this is Travis Kelce going, listen, yeah, I'm underpaid, but I've got an opportunity here, and maybe that was his thinking all along in regards to bringing up on his podcast, because this would not have been a story if he did not bring this up on his podcast about how he wanted to give a friendship bracelet to Taylor Swift with his number on it. And Jason, his brother, said, yeah, which number is that? Your jersey number, your phone number? And Travis was like, ah. Now, maybe it'll be great and they'll get married and they'll have 10 kids. I don't know. I highly doubt it. I think this will be a short-term relationship. We don't even know if they're like actually exclusive, okay? They just might be good friends, or as some people say, friends with benefits. But It is interesting to me how Kelsey handled all of this. It is interesting how Taylor Swift just suddenly was there after he said, and he knew this when he said it, you know, I told her on his podcast, I told her, you rocked it at Arrowhead, you got to come me rock it at Arrowhead. And then boom, voila, the next game, she's there. Kelsey wouldn't have said that if he didn't know that she was already coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the video cracks me up is there's a popcorn machine going out that has walls all the way around it, and there's people saying, that's Taylor Swift. She's inside the machine to sneak her out, which there have been some weird stories over the years about entertainers leaving athletes, actresses, actors, singers, whatever, leaving in certain disguises or whatever it might be. There are stories that is backed up. Maybe she was in that. I don't know. It is insane to me how crazy people are with a 33-year-old pop singer. But over the years, you've seen this. The people were insane over the years. I was, once again, I feel young when I say this. The Beatles were amazing and took the world by storm. They took America by storm when they came over here. Elvis Presley took the world by storm, okay? There are just, and then there's the flashes of stuff. You know, there's certain stuff that took over for a short period of time. When I was growing up, I remember MC Hammer was a big thing for a short period of time. You know, rap and this and that. Various things.
It was the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
Yes,
for
the boy bands.
And Britney Spears,
yes.
Right?
Yep, yeah. Britney Spears. Yep, New Kids on the Block. That was a big thing. So we go through our cycles, right? And so Taylor Swift is the cat's meow. She is the most popular person on earth, I think. And Travis Kelce is either really good friends with her or dating her, whichever. I don't even care. And as I said yesterday, if she wants to come to every game the rest of the season and that assures the Chiefs are going to blow out every opponent, I am all for this relationship.
Yes.
If it becomes a distraction, I want this thing to be done, over with. Because all I care about is not Kelce or Taylor Swift, but my football team's success. And if that comes across selfish, well, too damn bad. That's my team, all right? That's how most people are. I'm being facetious. I really don't care one way or the other. Although, if it is a distraction for the team, if we're sitting here whining about Chris Jones' holdouts a distraction, who's to say Taylor Swift isn't a distraction if she comes to every home game? Where, by the way, the Chiefs go to New York this Sunday night against the Jets. Rumor, she's on a break from her Eras tour. Perhaps Taylor Swift is in the suite in New York. They said the Jets ticket sales have gone up because there's anticipation she may be there. Is this not insanity to you? Just to get a glimpse of Taylor Swift. And I said this the other day on Waterside Wake Up, I think. Maybe I said it on the sports show. We don't have royalty in this country, but we do. You know, I laugh and make fun of, it's King Philip or it's King Charles or, you know, it used to be Princess Diana and it was the Queen who passed away recently. And I don't get all the pomp and circumstance around somebody that I don't know if really accomplished a lot in their lives. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, or they inherited stuff. I don't get it because I don't live there. So, you know, whether it's cool, whether it's weird, whether it's stupid, whether it's awesome, I don't truly know. And, you know, we sit here and I've heard people say, well, the reason Americans are interested in that royalty is we don't have that here. That's baloney. We have it here. It's just not with a crown on their head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We do have royalty. This is a perfect example. Taylor Swift is royalty. The only difference is she's not going to be the cat's meow, the number one person in the world, popularity-wise, for 80, 90 years. The queen is always going to be the queen in England, okay? Until she dies or whatever, hands it over. So it goes in cycles in America, but we have this all the time. We have people that are super popular, and then eventually, like Britney Spears was a huge deal. Okay, Shania Twain was a big deal for a while. Mm-hmm. Britney Spears, as I mentioned, Faith Hill was, Carrie Underwood. I mean, it's two different levels of popularity. Don't get me wrong. Taylor Swift blows all that out of the water. I don't think it's that close right now. And we're in the social media age where, boom, we got everything in front of us. Taylor Swift walking out with Travis Kelce and, they're in a car going into a construction zone without a legal tag on the back of the car, which I thought was interesting. But it is insanity, but that is our royalty. That fills the void of the king and the queen and Prince Harry and Meghan and whoever all their names are. I don't follow it that closely. That is our royalty. It's kind of a short-term royalty. But there will be another singer that'll take the world by storm, whether it be a guy or a woman. and he'll have a lot of popularity, maybe as much or more so than Taylor Swift over the next 10, 15 years. There'll be somebody new. Taylor Swift will slide to the background, just like Britney Spears slid to the background. It's what we do in America. But it is crazy to me how people can't wait to run to Free State Brewery, which is great advertising for them.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you're really smart, somebody at Free State Brewery just throws out social media and says, Taylor Swift, I hear, might be here, and you're lying through your teeth, and I would get everybody there because people don't really think for themselves. They're just like, oh, hey, yeah, let's be lemmings. Let's follow everybody. I mean, it is amazing to me how easy it is to control people.
Yeah.
Like, that's where, she bleeds red, and that's, of course, the color and everything else. She bleeds red. She is a human being. And I know that I would be kind of, like, a little nervous if I met Patrick Mahomes, but at the same time, I do know that I could actually complete a sentence talking to Patrick Mahomes because I've interviewed athletes before, and I've talked to people. And, yeah, there's times I get a little bit nervous, and I talk to certain people. But at the same time, I do realize that they are human beings, and they might not be the person I thought they were. Watch them on TV. They might be the biggest jack-o'-lantern of all time. They might be super nice. They might be kind of, you know, fair to Midland, as they might say. But I do know they're people.
Yeah, it's a dynamic that I've actually been up close and personal with, actually, when I went to that horror convention down in Dallas, like meeting all my favorite actors from Scream, right? Like, it's they're there, but it's a difference of what we're talking about here, because they're there to meet the fans.
Yeah.
They're not at Free State Brewery to meet the fans, right? Like, they're just out. They're doing what they're doing if you're Taylor Swift, and if she actually was at Free State there. And so it's kind of crazy. If I know something's scheduled and there's an opportunity for me to be there, I'll go. Mm-hmm. And if I have the means, or if I have the time, or if it's set up with my schedule to be able to do it, I'll do it. But yeah, I don't know that I'm just going to drop what I'm doing just to run over to Free State Brewery and see Taylor Swift.
I'm going to cut out of work and give up lunch so I can see a glimpse of a 33-year-old woman.
Yeah, and you know, I guess it would only come... I'd only know my answer to that if it was somebody that I actually really was a huge fan of.
Nev Campbell.
Yeah, and if it was Nev Campbell at Free State Brewery, right? Like, mm-hmm. Or if it was Courtney Cox at Free State Brewery, right? Like, somebody like that, then maybe it's different. Maybe I would drop it and just go and be like, oh, maybe I'll get a glimpse. But some of that is just wild to me. Like, the picture that I saw, and it's just like all these people just outside the restaurant just hanging out. And it's like... What are you doing today? Like, how you doing this? Like, shouldn't you be at work or doing something productive? And it's like, what happened here? But it is an interesting dynamic, and that's why we have. But I agree with you completely. Like, that's the celebrities in this country are made out to be royalty by our people.
Yeah.
Like, it's you know, and I think Princess Di was obviously, you mentioned her, but that kind of was like a time period where a lot of this stuff started popping up and happening, right? That's why paparazzi was out there, and everybody wanted this stuff, and that's why TMZ exists today, because everybody wants this stuff and they want to see these celebrities for some reason. I think half of the people that are watching want to see him fail and want to see him have something go wrong for him, because they shouldn't be as popular as they are, and then the other half of the people are just going crazy because they just want to know everything that's going on in their daily lives. And it was fun for me to meet all these people, but I'm not like, I need to know what you're doing every day. That's not me. I've never really been like that. And you know, that whole, if you know the story, that whole thing cost Princess Diana her life.
Yes, it did.
And you know, it's just like, let's kind of reel it in a little bit. I think that helped at that time a little bit, of reeling in some of the paparazzi part of it, but it's still kind of crazy out there, and I don't think that will ever change. Like you said, with the social media aspect of everything that's going on, you and I can just go ahead and be the paparazzi.
Yeah.
Somebody said that she's there, I can go and do what they're doing. The same. That's all it is. It's like, it's basically the same thing they're doing.
It really is.
And we get mad at him or whatever for doing what they're doing.
Did you know that former Chief and now New Orleans Saints defensive tackle Colin Saunders' brother is one of the top dancers on Taylor Swift's dance team?
I did not know.
During these performances, I saw one. He's one of the most popular dancers. He's a bigger, heavier guy that really can dance. She's one of, I think she's even said he's one of her favorite dancers as well. He's a popular person. I don't know. I don't follow this stuff.
Yeah.
I just read this. It is interesting. We can sit here, and I know people are doing it. Football people are doing this. They're making fun of the new Swiftie fans because they're trying to learn that it takes four downs, you're allowed four downs to get 10 yards. They're learning football 101. And I've seen, you know, football people, of course, make fun of them a little bit. But you know what? They can make fun of us talking about Taylor Swift because we don't know what the song she plays, the sings, the albums, her shows, her dancers by name, that some of these Swifties probably know about every dancer by name, some of them diehard people. So it works both ways, right?
Yeah.
We're kind of merging two universes together, which I think are going to be for a short time. It's going to be an eclipse, and it's going to disappear, is what I think. But what, going back to my initial point, politicians know how to do this very easily. It's called redirecting or creating a distraction. Even if you ask a politician straight up, eye to you, and I've done it here in the studio before, mm-hmm. ask them a straight head-on question. They always, if they don't want to answer it, or know they shouldn't answer it, they redirect. And redirect is they might throw something back at you, or what they do is they go off on a side tangent talking about other stuff that doesn't even answer the question, okay? Mm-hmm. So my point is we easily can get distracted, okay? And so here, and politicians know that they can get away with it. Why I bring this up to tie into the Kelce Swift thing is Travis Kelce knows, Taylor Swift probably knew, you know, if we just like, if I just go to one of your games, or hey, if you just come to one of my games, the podcast will just shoot off the charts and my jersey sales will go up and it'll be pandemonium and it'll be great and it'll be fun. And they may already have an agreement that they're just good friends and they'll ham it up a little bit to get people riled up and then be like at the end, oh, we were just friends. We never, it was nothing more than that. We were just supporting one another. And this could all be kind of a ruse. And guess what? It helps Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. It helps him get more sponsors for his podcast. It helps him with his followers. It helps the Chiefs. It helps the NFL. It does. It helps the NFL. And it doesn't hurt Taylor Swift because now we got me, of all people, and football fans talking about Taylor Swift. It works out perfectly for both of these people and makes Travis Kelce even more popular and known across the entire world. Taylor Swift's not a phenomenon just here. She goes on tour across mm-hmm. the world, and she's got more, I think, concert dates across the world later on. This is the same thing that politicians do from the standpoint of, we know how to control the narrative. We know how to get everybody riled up and going, right? Say something crazy or say something that we know will get our base riled up. The Chiefs, the fan, the kingdom is their base. Kelce knew this was going to happen. He ain't stupid. I mean, maybe not to the extent it has, but he knew. I guarantee you she knew. Anybody around her knew. Mama Kelce knew. The Chiefs organization knew. So you could say this is all a made-up little act that's designed to get attention and help sales and help Kelce, and not that Taylor Swift need help, but that helps Taylor Swift get some more fans because of the football people. It works both ways. You get, like I said earlier, you got Swifties now suddenly talking about football and Kelce and the Chiefs in particular. And you've got football fans and sports talk show hosts like me and others talking about Taylor Swift and her tour. It's brilliant. If this is not real, it's still brilliant.
Yeah. All of the stuff that you're talking about that's going through my head is just like wild to me, like with the ticket sales going up because of Taylor Swift and all this. I'm like, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about the world champions right now. Ticket sales should have already been up.
It's super like, expensive already.
It is. And then the, well, I'm going to buy a ticket to the game. The
so I
Jets
can see Taylor Swift and I'm sweet.
I may see her. It's like, why? Like that's just to look at her. Like I can look at her on my TV. Like, I'm not going to a Taylor Swift concert after this game in New York.
Let me tell you something. You're not getting close enough to shake her hand.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's all, I mean, it just keeps the system moving and it keeps those cogs turning, right? Like, it's like, yeah, let's make this bigger and let's say we're together and... I just like there's not a. I will say I think there's. After this blows up, it's like most of these people are just going to go back to their own mm-hmm. devices, right? Like Chiefs fans, I don't think you're going to be like, I'm going to listen to the new Taylor Swift. Like I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's more eyes on her right. and things like that. But I don't know. It's interesting to see where it could go when it's done, because I'm pretty sure everybody thinks it's going to be done.
It's a tremendous marketing ploy, I think, possibly. I think it's just absolutely fantastic what they've been able to do, because they both know their bases. And now they've intertwined with one another. And oh my God, they're going to get married and have babies.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.